and a good Monday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier back at the studio. We are live today at Bridgestone Arena as Nick Saban, longtime Alabama football coach, will be introduced as a minority owner of the Nashville Predators. Governor Bill Haslam, who is the majority owner, will be here as well. He will actually join our show live around 1:30, but we'll carry Coach Saban's press conference at 1 o'clock. And also the voice of the Preds, Pete Weber, going to join us here in just a few minutes, and John McClain at 2 o'clock. So we got a packed show today on this Monday, and it was a big weekend for the Preds. They got a couple of wins, and the Titans won yesterday, too. I can't remember the last time the Preds and the Titans won on the same day, but it happened yesterday.
Great weekend, right? Preds win, beat the Maple Leafs Saturday, beat the Rangers last night. Titans win. Nick Saban's in town. Alabama fans are ecstatic this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
The playoff committee should be talked to because James Madison and Tulane, we all know, should not have been in there.
We'll be talking about that.
It was a fun weekend starting Friday night until today. So we'll have the Saban press conference at 1 o'clock. So it's good, man. And it was a fun weekend. The Alabama game was fantastic. The Miami-Texas A&M game Saturday, and you could do whatever you say, whatever you want, was the best college football game in the last 5 years. My son-in-law calls me up and says, it's 3-0 in the third quarter. I'm like, this is great. I have not seen teams hit each other that hard in such a long time, and what a game it was. We felt bad for our friend Marcel Reed, the NBA product who almost led Texas A&M back down the field. But I'm telling you, that Miami-Texas A&M game was fantastic because nobody could score points. We all want the 48-36 game. Like my son-in-law was like, oh, you know, there's no scoring. It was fantastic. The afternoon games and evening games were really, really awful, man. But I congratulate the Titans winning the game yesterday and getting it done. And if you're not a Cam Ward believer after that, watching that guy just put that team on his back, I don't know what else he could do to prove to you he's the quarterback of this football team.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I think he's I did find it interesting, though, listening to the pregame show when you asked Chris and Derek, and they struggled to answer that question because I think we all feel the same way. I want to see a team around him. I want to see them give him some weapons around him. And if they do that, then I think you're going to see more like yesterday. I mean, you know, the Titans did a great job defensively. You know, they got the safety. Obviously, Gardner Minshew left the game. And then offensively, they put up points and they won the football game. And I don't want to hear the, well, they screwed themselves out of the first pick.
Oh, my gosh.
They're still going to be top five.
Such a loser-ass mentality.
They're still going to be top five. I mean, they did what they needed to do. I think the interesting thing now is going to be, and I still don't think Mike McCoy is going to be the head coach, but you have certainly seen a change in this team really since the bye week. I mean, I think they're playing harder, I guess I should say. And
did you see Avatar, the movie?
No.
All right. In Avatar, they all gather around this gigantic tree. Like, it gives off this energy and this vibe. That's Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
I mean, I get why you don't trade him. I get it now. I mean, he destroyed that Chiefs line yesterday. I know it was decimated by injuries, but that guy was unbelievable. And look, they asked Kalen DeBoer, Brent Venables, Amario Cristobal, how do you win the game this weekend? And they said, you have to dominate the line, right? So you get a line around Cam Ward that can protect him, he's going to make things happen. I'm telling you. Where's all the Jackson Dart talk now? Right?
Yeah.
Abdul Carter, we got to get him when he's not doing whatever he does in the locker room, getting set down for a play or two or a series. I mean, they did fine. You put stuff around him. We knew it was going to be a struggle year. Now you build around him. Let Borgonzi do his thing, and it's fine. But I don't know, you know, people on social media, oh, we lost. What? Can you guarantee me that the number one pick is going to make the Hall of Fame? Can you guarantee me that?
No.
Right.
Never.
So it doesn't matter you pick 1, 4th, 8th, or 12th. It's how you get the guy in here if he can work and he's a fit for your system. So stop with the tanking nonsense. You are a loser. That's a loser mentality. That's a hell of a way to go through life, man.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. I had fun yesterday.
Oh, what did we do?
I for the first time in a long time, I sat down and played video games. And, you know, video games are real life. Like, what you do on Madden is actually how the NFL works. That's how some people think.
Right.
But for giggles, I decided I simmed through this season. I picked it up from week 16 and simmed through the season. Titans got the number one overall pick.
Who was it?
Well, this is what I did. I traded it.
Good for you.
I traded it and got – I traded with the Browns. And I got 5-18, because they had two, 5-18, their first next year, their second this year, and their third next year. And I sent them one, and I think my fourth this year. So I felt pretty good about that. You got three first-round picks out of that. But then, for giggles, they'll offer trades. Like, if you put certain things out.
Who's they?
Like the computer.
Okay.
I put the first overall pick and Jeffrey Simmons. Chicago offered me cornerback Jalen Johnson, their first this year, next year, and in 2028, their third this year, and their fourth this year.
Did you take it?
No. I actually didn't.
It's a lot of guys, man.
I know. And Jalen Johnson. I asked our friend Ryan Porth, how would 670 the score react to this? And they say, he goes, not well.
Right? Goodness.
So, look, well, it's not real life.
I know, but he's still Simmons just dominating. Dominating. I mean, he is just dominating everybody on the line. It's fun to watch, man.
And he was eligible.
He was.
He was eligible. They missed that. I see what happened, that I think he saw somebody else and thought that they were the one. But, I mean, that sucked because he was eligible.
Yep. And he blasted that guy, too, going through the hole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to win. You're 3-12. Now you're playing a Saints team that somebody forgot to tell them to lay down and die. They're playing fantastic football. Yeah. 5-10, beating teams left and right. So it'll be a fun game coming. And then the Jaguars could be the number one team in the AFC. If the Patriots lose, Broncos lose, and they win their next two, the Jags are the number one seed. And you all laughed at them 2 years ago.
The Titans will finish the season 4-13. I think they'll win one of these next two.
I don't. The Saints are playing really good, and the Jags are fighting.
Well, what I'm saying is I think it's more likely that the Jags will have stuff locked up and won't play anybody.
But they don't.
Well, true. Then they'll be 3-13.
Yep.
Whatever.
But, you know, 50. Whatever. But Ward yesterday was really good. That throw, he always slides to his left for some reason. And that throw off his back foot 60 yards down the field was a bullet. I forget who caught it. But was one of the best passes in the league all year long. So get people around him. Give him a season to work. Get him a coach in here who knows how to figure things out with him. A good OC. Sky's the limit, baby. I love it.
All right, there's a texter that's going to get your blood pressure going already.
Go.
A395 says, I don't know if there's anyone whom I constantly disagree with more than Big Joe.
Get it.
Miami and A&M was a fantastic game, question mark. Crazy take. What else could Cam do to prove he's the quarterback of the future? Hit open receivers. I appreciate an optimist, but my word.
Peyton Manning missed a lot of receivers in his day. Troy Aikman missed a lot of receivers. Quarterbacks miss receivers all Drake May missed guys last night. He's a hell of a quarterback.
Yep.
So, look, here's my thing with football, right? You can have the 48 to 40 mile like that, but when they're running trap plays and gap plays and sweeps and traps again and then short passes and the punting team, they're blocking. That was a pure football game. None of this spread nonsense. I like when guys knock the snot out of each other. That Miami defense was all over the field hawking dudes. The A&M defense, same way. I mean, that was a power football game.
I'm sorry, they were doing what?
Hawking.
What is that?
You ever watch a hawk go after a mice?
Oh, okay.
I mean, hawking. Not the hawk to a girl. No,
I was
hawking.
Like, what?
So it's when you watch a hawk in a field go after its prey, I mean, it doesn't hold back. It goes right. So it's a term we used in college. Hawk a guy down the field, down the line of scrimmage. Yeah, see, mind the gutter right here. That's what it is. Sorry, Mr. Haslam. That was a pure football game. I mean, that was hitting and smashing and everything else going on. I love that game. It was such a good, pure football game. That's my take, brother.
Okay. Last night's Sunday night game was also a fantastic game as New England comes back and beats Baltimore 28-24. Do you believe that Amy Adams Strunk called Derrick Henry and said, "I'm so disappointed in you"?
What says he didn't get the football after they went up? They went away. I don't understand.
And what's
why
this
we
fumbling thing too now?
Complicate things from the game, man. But good for Vrabel. He keeps those guys. And look, there was a play in the game when the Ravens guy fumbled in the fourth quarter. Flowers fumbled.
Yeah.
And the guy picked it up. If you watch that video again, every player on that Patriots sideline was swarming, like happy, elated, yep, everything. Vrabel's got that team believing. So if you're Amy Adams Strunk, I want you to watch all those Patriot games because you had that coach in your building, and yet you let him go.
Drake May, 31 of 44, 380 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. Ramondre Stevenson, 51 yards and one touchdown, but the stat for them – Stephon Diggs, 9 catches, 138 yards, including 46 yards after the catch, was tremendous.
Yeah. I mean, that was a great football game, too, as well. A lot of hitting. A lot of big plays are going on. And then the play everybody's talking about where the receiver got tackled down the field.
Yeah.
And they didn't call a flag.
Yeah.
Bad weekend for refs.
It was.
Really bad weekend for referees.
It was. But we'll talk about all that, and including getting into our question of the day. We're not going to have as much time for our question of the day. If you want to throw it out there real quick.
Yeah, I'm Powerball tonight, right? You know how I love Powerball. If you win Powerball, who's the first person you tell? Who is the very first person? You got to tell. Don't tell me you don't tell anybody. You got to tell somebody. Who do you tell? You win Powerball, who do you tell?
Pete Weber. It's coming up next.
Pete's a good guy. You tell your mom, right?
I would tell my mom. That is correct.
Yeah. I tell my brother.
Yeah.
I trust him. That's it.
I would tell mom. And our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. Pete Weber will join us coming up next live at Bridgestone Arena here on 102.5 The Game.
Coming on late now, Willsby the score! Feeding the puck to the blue line, and the Predators tie it up in the 4-on-4.
The great call of the voice of the Preds, Pete Weber, who joins us now on the program. Chasing Big Joe live at Bridgestone Arena as the Predators have been playing some pretty good hockey as of late.
Just 9 out of 13 is all.
I know, right? And then they take Saturday and Sunday a back-to-back against Toronto and the New York Rangers.
Somebody, one of my friends from Toronto, not Joe Bowen, the voice of the Leafs, but sent me this message. What do the Toronto Maple Leafs have in common with the Titanic?
Are they sinking?
They're both on the bottom of the Atlantic.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good one. But look, this team, I know.
I was not expecting
that. Pete's a comedian. This team is playing, as you and I have talked about on the pregame show, with confidence, and it just seems to be growing and growing and growing. With each passing game. And, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of hiccups here and there against some of these really, really good teams. But even against them in losses, you're seeing them play well.
We are seeing that. We're seeing, I'm not going to say a swagger or a cockiness, but a confidence coming back into this lineup. And that even includes a guy who should be overly confident, like Steven Stamkos, who is nearing 600 career goals in his whole career. He has been a real rebirth, I think, over the course of the last 10 days or so. Didn't hurt having a four-goal game against the St. Louis Blues.
Not at all.
But, I mean, and then getting that what proved to be the game-winning goal, the empty net last night, he has been playing very well. But the guy who has been most consistent is the guy that people always seem to overlook, and that's Ryan O'Reilly.
Factor.
Yeah, he has been a factor, to be certain, in virtually every game.
Well, we kind of knew – sorry, Joe. We knew this was probably going to happen at some point, but you look at guys like Philip Forsberg and Steven Stamkos that go from single-digit goals to Phillips pushing 20 at 16 after having a hat trick, and then Stamkos at 14. I mean, that's what they need, though. They need those guys to produce.
Exactly. Your best players are supposed to be producing as your best players are expected to do. So that's what's going on. And there are some people who are leaving the building right now that just are taking off on the road. I don't know what we're going to do without them.
I know.
we shall go on. You know, it's funny, Pete. I watched the team. I watched Saturday night's game. I was here last night in the building.
Yeah, I spoke with you.
They're having fun.
Yes.
I mean, they are having fun. And now I was like, all right, they're having fun. That means things are going well. And that, to me, is a barometer of, like, how things are changing. You're winning games. And just keep having fun.
Earlier in the season, I'm going to say, like, let's go back before Thanksgiving. I felt like I heard one tune going over and over in my mind. Volga Boatmen. You know, that drudgery that you're approaching things, and no longer is that the case.
Say that word again?
Volga Boatmen. It's you've heard that. It's in old movies. Da 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 da.
It sounds like some lady I picked up in New York City a long time ago. Right?
You know, no. She texted me yesterday.
Said, "Where is this Joe guy going on?" Now they go on the road. And they haven't been out west, right?
Correct.
In a long time. So we'll find a lot about this hockey team. You know, Barry Trotz always told us that he loves these long road trips because it's us against the world.
Yes. Seven games away before coming back on January 8th against the New York Islanders. So it's just going to look like all the Predators doing is staying home and hosting New York teams. No, there's a few other matchups coming in between.
They'll play tomorrow night in Minnesota and then have the mandatory holiday break for 3 days. The roster freeze, I think, goes into effect tonight or last night.
It went in last night, yeah.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
You can't trade anybody for a week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which is
or
a good
move anybody up and down.
Yeah, which is a cool. So the roster is set, barring an injury. I think
the injury proviso is there.
Okay. Yeah. So the roster is set for a week, and they'll play tomorrow night against Minnesota, which is a John Hines coach team that has played well, but obviously got a lot better with the addition of Quinn Hughes.
Did they ever? When that trade came down, I thought, first of all, the day before's trade between Edmonton and Pittsburgh was going to be the trade, at least before the holiday. Oh, no. Oh, no. The Minnesota Wild went for it, and they took a big swing, and they got a great, great player back and gave up three good young ones.
Well, I mean, I still think there's a little edge to John Hines.
Oh, yes.
When the Preds come to town, right? I mean, it would be for me. I'd still be like, I'm going to show this franchise that they made the wrong move.
Just like Peter Laviolette had it there for a while. So that's to be certain. And, of course, it was John Hines brought in to replace Peter Laviolette after the outdoor game in Dallas.
What was it like calling Stamkos's four-goal game? Because he almost had that fifth goal that barely missed going in. The hat tricks for an announcer don't fall in your lap. Home team, the team you're calling in your lap all the time, do they?
No, they don't. And including the first hat trick in Predators history was in Chicago. And because the public address announcer there was challenged with Predators' names, it sounded like there were three different goal scorers. They were all Rob Valasevic, but Rob Velisevic, Rob Valasevic, and Crispy was having a coffee spit take after every announcement after those goals. But, yeah, the hat tricks are very, very special. And a four-goal game, I mean, people remember that there was also Rocco Grimaldi had a four-goal game in Predators history.
He named his sticks.
Yes, he had special names for each of them. They're usually all female names, and none of them involved his wife Abby's name going down after that. And then there was Eric Nystrom, who had the four-goal game in Calgary, which the Predators lost in extra time.
Was Grimaldi's hat trick here?
Yes.
Okay. What was the record David Legwon had against the Rangers? The quickest?
He was the first one to score an overtime penalty shot goal.
Okay.
And that was just before the Christmas break in, I think, 02.
Yeah. That's a good honor, right?
I mean, yes, it is. That was the same night he broke the remote camera up above the goal. a deflection of his went up there. And what we saw on the air, they played the video back for us later, was just the camera breaking up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Speaking of the Rangers, you know, they were here last night. I still remember Gretzky's four-point game back in, was that March of 99? Five-point game.
Five-point game, the building record. And he almost didn't do that. You want to know why?
Why?
Our security guard downstairs didn't think he was a player. He didn't have his NHL player identification on him. And he wasn't going to be let in.
Give that guy a raise.
I know, right? Yes. That could have worked out well.
Yeah. Really?
Yep.
Why was Gretzky not with the team coming in?
He was with the team, but he just didn't have his ID card on him. And they were being very, shall we say, sticklers for
things.
Yeah.
Was it March of 99, I think it was?
Yeah,
it was towards the end of
last year.
Yes. And the building had a weird vibe because I felt it. I never saw Jordan play, but I'd feel like you're just like, oh, my God, that's Wayne Gretzky.
Yes. And I think there were a lot of players that felt the very same way.
Right?
I mean, Barry Trotz used to lecture the team before they played Detroit. Okay, guys, don't go out there looking for autographs. I know they got 8 Hall of Famers on the lineup, but don't go asking for autographs, at least during the game.
Smart.
Pete Weber is with us. Pete, you know, obviously I want to bring up Sheila Crisp passing away last week. For you and your wife, Claudia, you were very close with Sheila and obviously Terry Crispy. Tough battle, tough lady, but just sad to see her go. But obviously the legacy she left behind was
very
great.
Tough to see her pass. It was very tough to see her physical decline over the course of the last number of weeks. And to witness that. But, you know, every time we visited with her, she had something positive to say. Have I told you the story on the air of Terry and Sheila leaving the Spectrum in Philadelphia one night after a Flyers game?
I don't think so.
Okay, so Terry and Sheila are walking up the tunnel to the players' parking lot outside the Spectrum when Terry was playing there. And there are the young fans gathered around the alleyway, and somebody goes, "Who's that blonde with Terry Crisp?" And one of the others answered, "I think that's his wife." And that girl then said, "She's a lucky bee." So Terry said, "Come on, Lucky, let's go." And after he got kicked in a sensitive area, they continued on up to Terry's car.
Please tell
Lucky
me,
Crisp.
Please tell me you continued calling her Lucky for.
Oh, I called her Lucky for quite a while. We'd show close-ups in the stands. There would be Lucky down there sitting in the stands. And Terry said, "You're going to get me killed. You're going to get me killed."
Well, the funny thing about Sheila is, and I don't know if you ever noticed this with her, is she'd speak her mind. She'd tell you what she really thought.
Yes, she would.
Whether you asked or not, she would tell you.
Right.
And, you know, I've had these moments, like, in my career, you know, with you and with Crispy of, like, man, these guys know me. Like, well, the first time Sheila came up to me, she was complaining about something. I don't even remember what it was, but something about the station.
Okay.
And I'm like, Sheila Crisp knows who I am.
And is, which is dangerous for you.
Right. And is complaining, you know, right now, which I don't care, you know. But this is like, this is fantastic. And Crispy goes, "I've heard that before. Run."
run.
But I spoke to you one night. It was in the break room up in 300 level. Years ago, we were talking, and you walked away, and somebody came up and said, "Oh, my God, do you know Pete Weber?" And I was like, "Who's Pete Weber?"
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Like, the guy, Pete Weber. I'm like, that was just a guy we were talking in the break room up there.
We were just shooting the bull.
So I know what Chase means. I mean, when Crispy comes by, like, "Hey, Big Joe," I'm like, how the hell does he know who I am? Yeah. So it's always an honor. Yeah. And with you, always with you too, Pete.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, we obviously thinking about Crispy and his family right now, and I know again you and Claudia have been there for him and a lot, so many people, and I think that's what's so tremendous.
We're just part of a legion of people, who have surrounded Terry and Sheila and the family. And what was excellent was that all three of their children were here in town when Sheila passed. Yeah. And I think that was quite important.
Yeah. Well, Pete, enjoy today. I know you're going to be watching the press conference with Coach
Before he goes, we got some Notre Dame news. What was the Notre Dame news?
At least they failed to initially renew the schedule with USC.
Come on.
Yeah. And so they're instead, we're going to have new T-shirts, Joe. They've got a new series they're just announcing with BYU.
Oh, no.
So it'll be Catholics versus Mormons rather than Catholics versus convicts from the Miami.
That's right.
There you go.
Oh, man, they played for...
Since 1926.
100 years, according to my math.
Yes.
That's terrible.
It is.
Oh, man.
But evidently, there is a chance an opening comes up in 27 that they can resume.
Okay. Well, maybe just a year off.
Yeah.
So then get it going again. Pete, appreciate the time.
Thank you very much,
appreciate
guys.
It. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Now, this is, I know, a potentially incriminating question for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Shopping's done?
Haven't even begun.
Mine is done, actually.
Congratulations, Chase. And Joe?
There's a Walgreens near my house.
A man after my heart.
That's right.
That's what he and Peter Laviolette talked
right.
about. That's
yes.
how they bonded.
We did. We bonded about, I asked the same question to Peter Laviolette years ago. And he's like, there's a Walgreens by my house. That was the joke. So I always say there's a Walgreens by my house.
But it was a big Walgreens by Lavi's house.
It was yes. a very yes. big Walgreens.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, yeah. sir.
Thank you, Pete. Pete Weber, voice of the president. Again, the Nick Saban press conference will be at 1 o'clock today. You can hear it right here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. We'll have Nick Saban's press conference coming your way at 1 o'clock today. And I just watched Christmas Vacation over the weekend, so this always reminds me.
Is Nick Saban in it?
No, he's not. But this song reminds me of Christmas Vacation.
As long as you're not talking about the worst Christmas movie ever, Elf, we're good.
I'm talking about Christmas Vacation
Love
with
it.
Chevy Chase.
It's a good one.
He is. I think the scene where he's just daydreaming about the pool.
And, yeah, right.
And then the girl from the store at the mall. Can't see the lines, Russ.
Such a good movie. Such a good movie.
Where are you going to put that? Bend over and I'll show you. Always good.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. Sorry, family show. 615-737-1025. Appreciate Pete for joining us. Our question of the day is, if you won the Powerball, who's the first person you would tell? TD from Nashville. First person I would tell if I won a crazy amount of money would be my accountant. Money makes people act funny. I'd tell no one as broke as me. My accountant needs to know so I can quickly figure out a plan of what to do with the money and remain off the grid as possible. That's probably smart.
So it's $1.6 billion, $735 million cash option if you win tonight.
Is it the highest it's ever been?
It's the third or fourth highest it's ever been.
Has it ever hit $2
billion? I think it has.
Okay.
Like, and somebody won it in California. Somebody in California always wins it. So
yeah.
That's the thing. But
or like, you know, Buck Snort.
I think nobody in Tennessee's won a big amount in a long, long time. So, yeah. But there's a guy who talks about if you win Powerball, what you should do. Like, sign the back of the ticket, go to the bank, put in a lockbox for a week, lay low, hire a cop. Get the cop to go with you to the lottery office. I mean, there's all these things, steps you got to do instead of like, I won the Powerball.
Right.
But you got to sign it immediately. And that's what he said. And then don't tell a soul. Then go to the lottery. I think in Tennessee, you can remain anonymous.
Yeah.
For a period of time. So I told you.
But here's the problem. You and I would be sitting next to each other doing this show, and like one of us would be constantly looking at cars
right.
or condos down in Key West.
Oh, did I just cuss? I'm sorry. what would happen is you'd get a postcard for you know where you get a postcard from, right?
Key West.
No. Fort Hancock, Texas.
Okay, Fort. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. You know, and they'd be like, I'm not sure.
San Montanejo.
That's right. They'll throw up a red flag for an old convict like me. And then me, you, and Dr. Crane will reunite on the beach. I'll be scrubbing that boat down, and then you guys walking up will hug each other. Is that good for you, Dr. Crane?
It's great with me.
Do you know what movie we're talking about?
I'm not necessarily 1 year, one out. I'm kind of looking at the most recent, you know, winners in Tennessee.
But do you know San Antonio, Fort Hancock, Texas? Does that not ring a bell?
Unfortunately, it does not.
End of the movie.
Red.
One guy's scrubbing a boat, and they hug on the beach. And he says, I hope the Pacific is as blue in my dreams as it is in reality.
Y'all talking about a home movie y'all are in or something?
Oh, my. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. The Shawshank Redemption.
It's going to be, if you keep that attitude, it's going to be called the Shank Redemption. They're going to shank you, buddy.
Oh.
Shawshank Redemption. You haven't seen that?
It's been a while. Probably not. Is that the one with Denzel Washington?
That's it. That's the one.
No. Leonardo DiCaprio?
That's it. Keep going.
Yep, that's it.
Yep, that's the one. Yeah, Denzel.
For the person that's running to their phone to text into the text line to correct us, we know who's wrong.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Dr. Crane, you tell Nani, right? First person?
It might be my mom and then my grandmother, yeah.
No, you only tell one. Who's the first one?
My mom, for sure.
I mean, would you not, like, the next morning go straight to the lottery office?
I've thought about this, and that's the one part I don't know.
I mean, I would. Now, I like the private security. Like, I would definitely.
You have to.
Do that.
You have to get somebody that. But I think we.
I already got.
But somebody. I think you got to sign the ticket, like, and then go to the. Put it in the bank in the lockbox. That's what I was. I spent a lot of time.
Why can't you sign the ticket and just go to the?
Well, they're not going to hand you a huge check for $1.6 billion. Here you go, Chase.
No, but, I mean, start the process.
True. Yep. And then find somebody you can trust as a wealth management
company.
And what
company. Do you mean they're not going to – they better hand me – I'm going to be like, I want this big-ass check to walk out with.
You got to go high in hiding if you get that. I mean, you think about that. If you do the cash option, $735 million.
All right, now I'm curious of how this works.
I mean, that's a lot. And if you buy any part of a – restaurant or sports team. All right. No.
Google. This is what the AI Google says. So
okay.
Immediate action. Sign your ticket. Immediately sign the back of your physical winning ticket. Until it is signed, it is a bearer instrument, meaning anyone who possesses it can claim the prize.
Ooh.
Secure the ticket. Store the signed ticket in a safe place, such as a bank deposit box. Okay. There you go. Make photocopies for your records. Keep quiet.
Did I write this?
Seek professional advice before claiming your prize. Assemble a team of professionals, including an attorney, an accountant, and a financial advisor experienced with large windfalls that can help you make informed decisions. Then it says claiming the prize. Check the state rules. Each state has specific rules and time limits for claiming prizes, which can range from 90 days to a year. Choose the payout option. You must decide between two primary payment methods, typically within 60 days of claiming the prize, the lump sum cash option or the annuity. And let's see. State laws vary on whether winners can remain anonymous. Follow the claim process. Depending on the prize payout, you may claim the prize at a local retailer, a lottery district office.
Yeah. Hey, MAPCO.
Or lottery headquarters.
The MAPCO on Donald at Lemon Road McGavin. Hey, can I cash this? He pulls out a gun. He's like, yeah, give it to him. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, so that's $735. So basically, out of the cash option, you get – the state, the structure you're in and the financial part of tier, you lose 37% of the total.
It says lottery winnings are considered ordinary taxable income at both the federal and often state levels. The IRS automatically withholds 24% for federal taxes up front, but you may owe more, with federal rates potentially as high as 37%. Your financial – did you write this? Seriously.
I told you, man. And then I'll give 10% to the church. So you basically end up with half of that. And then the fun begins. But you got to play
to
win.
There's a I won, now what, on the Tennessee lotteries.
Is there really?
Yeah. Let's see. Dr. Crane also says November 7th, 2022 is the one time it's been over $2 billion. The most recent significant Powerball winner in Tennessee was a player who won $1 million by matching five white ball numbers in the drawing held on December 17th, 2025.
Okay.
The winning ticket was purchased at a Speedway located at 1200 Memorial Boulevard in Springfield.
Holy cow.
The largest Powerball prize ever won in Tennessee was a share of the world record $1.58 billion in January 2016, which resulted in a payout of over $528 million for John and Lisa Robinson of Munford.
All right, well, and this has hit 1.6. So if they don't win, anybody wins tonight, another drawing is Wednesday, probably be close to $2 billion. And then you're set. I wouldn't mind buying, if I won all that, I wouldn't mind buying a jet.
Yeah.
Like a $10 million jet, and then that way you just fly wherever you want to.
I don't know. I'm a little nervous about those right now.
Good, yeah. I mean, look, man. Whatever happens, happens.
Derek in Nashville is now banned from the show. He says Christmas Vacation is the worst Christmas movie of all time.
It's okay. Sorry, Derek. It's not the worst. Elf is the worst Christmas movie of all time. It is the absolute worst Christmas. That and Fred Claus are neck and neck. But Elf, just terrible. Terrible Christmas movie. And everybody dresses up like him and, right, and you know. Although it was funny, you know, in that movie, was it Peter Dinklage, the little guy?
Yeah.
When he runs across the table to choke. Somebody said that was Pavia when he didn't win the Heisman.
Brandy says, thank you, gentlemen, for all the entertainment as we wait in this in and out line. Can I get a double-double animal style, please?
What the hell is that?
It's a burger with the animal style on it from In-N-Out.
Please explain that to somebody who's never been to In-N-Out. Because
I
think this is bedroom talk.
I don't even know what it
is. I think this is something, another chat that I'm not involved in.
It's got the sauce. It's got.
Does it? I bet it does. What else is in this animal style burger?
Some lettuce.
Explain it again with those nuggies.
Okay, Derek and Nashville goes, appreciate the band. All in good fun. Love the show.
Thanks, Derek. Derek, if you come, if you write back, Derek, and say Elf is bad too, we got you, man. We'll get you in the club. Who was the lady at In-N-Out?
Brandy.
All right, Brandy, let us know. Is there still – I'm told there's still massive lines.
Yeah.
Would you wait in line an hour for a hamburger?
Look, Russ, no lines.
Would you? I wouldn't.
No.
If the line is five deep, I'm gone.
There's a video on Instagram of a family that waited for 5 hours. And I'm like,
here?
Yeah.
For In-N-Out?
Yes.
I'd report.
I wouldn't do it.
I would report mom and dad to the DCS.
I just, I'm good. I mean, look, I like In-N-Out. The burgers are good.
What's so good about it?
Didn't we take you in Vegas?
No.
Did we not go?
No.
I thought we did. I don't know. It's just different.
Okay.
But it's good. It's good, but I'm not waiting 5 hours.
No, not at all.
So.
Not for your double animal style. Weirdo. Absolute weirdo.
We'll have more coming up next, including Nick Saban at 1 o'clock on his press conference. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. We'll have Nick Saban's press conference with the Predators coming up here in just a few minutes. And we'll get hot and heavy into the Titans later in the show as well, as they beat the Chiefs yesterday. But we opened the show talking about the college football playoff games. Alabama-Oklahoma was a fantastic game.
Yes.
On Friday night, as Alabama was down 17-0 to Oklahoma, came back and win it 34-24 to advance to the next round. And as we kind of figured, Ole Miss-Tulane was a blowout.
Right.
Oregon-James Madison was a blowout. Miami, Texas A&M, I'm with you, was a great defensive battle.
So good.
As Miami wins 10-3. But my thing, and I've heard other shows talk about this, is I hope that this has proven to everybody that Group of Five needs their own thing.
It does. I mean, I was always on the board of, like, getting one in. You deserve to get one in. But I don't – I mean, you're not even competitive.
Here's where I'm going to say I will agree with that. And I am a man of integrity, so I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I heard this across the street on another show.
Okay.
But if a team did like Cincinnati did a few years ago and they were in the top four, then okay.
Okay.
You've earned your way in there.
Sure.
All right. And then I'd be willing to discuss that. But just putting someone in just to put someone in to make them feel good.
Terrible.
Is not the right thing to do. So,
and again, they're going to expand it to 16. And again, the next four teams they add are not going to be able to win the national championship. So let's stop that nonsense right away as we go on. There's a sports writer in Alabama, his name's Kevin Skarbinski, very popular, around forever. He tweets out when Bama's down 17-0, the worst Bama team he's ever seen. Kalen DeBoer sucks, and they win the game. My emotions got the best of me. I mean, you're a writer. Just shut your mouth right now. Alabama came back, and they punched Oklahoma in the face, and they won the game. They out-physicaled everything you want to do. They got done, and Alabama won the game. Good for Alabama. Now they take it to Indiana. The best troll job this entire weekend, kudos to the Ole Miss Rebels. The uniforms they wore on Saturday were the ones that Lane Kiffin absolutely hated. And they hardly ever wore those when he was a coach at Ole Miss. When they came out of those uniforms on Saturday, and you saw social media just light up like, this is great job. Good for Ole Miss. Now they got to play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, so we'll see what happens. But I'm really intrigued now that I watch Miami, how hard they hit people. I didn't know. Game Day did a great thing on their defensive line at Miami. Their coach is Jason Taylor, the Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And the way he pours into those guys, and you're like, that Reuben Bain, boy, I like to see him in two-tone blue.
Yeah.
He just is relentless. And that was fun. So they take on Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. That's going to be a great game. If Miami can keep that tenacity up the rest of the way, they're in the championship game.
Real quick, I don't know if you've looked at the lines for
I have not.
The quarterfinal games. Coming up on New Year's Eve, Miami will play Ohio State at AT&T Stadium in the Cotton Bowl Classic. What do you think the line is?
Ohio State by 3.
9.5.
What?
Yep.
No way, man.
Then 3 on New Year's Day. The first one at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, the Orange Bowl, Oregon and Texas Tech.
Texas Tech by 7.
Oregon by 1.5.
Just don't sleep on Tech. Although we don't know anything about Texas Tech.
I think that's why they've said it the way it is. 3 o'clock, ESPN, the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. Alabama against Indiana.
Indiana by 1.5.
Indiana by 6.5.
No.
I would take Bama all day.
Indiana's – all right. I'm saying a word because I've been wrong all year long, but it'll be a fun game.
And then the night game down at the Superdome in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl, Ole Miss and Georgia.
Georgia by 7.
Close, 6.5.
6.5. Yep. Yeah. Remember Ole Miss was up on them by 2 touchdowns. That's Ole Miss's only loss of the year. Is that right?
But Lane Kiffin was the coach.
Lane Kiffin was the coach.
So yep. That counts for something.
Who plays? If Georgia wins, who do they play? Ohio State? I don't know how how the bowl structure goes.
Hang on. Let me pull the bracket up.
Whoever wins the Sugar Bowl, who do they play?
So the winner of Oregon-Texas Tech would play Alabama-Indiana, and the winner of Ole Miss-Georgia would play Miami-Ohio State.
Okay. All right. Is it one in the Peach Bowl?
Yes. The Peach Bowl is Oregon-Texas Tech and Alabama-Indiana. And then the Fiesta is the other one.
Okay. Be fun. I mean, look, I'm intrigued now because now you got teams that can win the national championship. Tulane, James Madison, they were nowhere close to winning the national championship. So this will be fun. I think it'll be a good time, and we'll enjoy it. Just we'll still debate about adding more teams.
Can I tell you something I don't like? And I get why they do it because I don't like that you play the Orange Bowl and then 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, it's back for the championship game. I kind of feel like if you're not in the bowl rotation, you should.
Is it not different, though?
It is different. Yeah. I mean, the championship game is a standalone game, but it's Miami. It's in Miami.
Right. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I understand that.
And could you imagine if the Hurricanes ran the table?
If they run the table, who's in the other division, other bracket that they would play?
They would either play Oregon, Texas Tech, Alabama, or Indiana.
Miami-Alabama would be a hell of a game.
That would be.
Recall the 89-92 Sugar Bowls when Alabama beat Miami in 92 and Miami beat Alabama 89 with the national championship. So how fitting would that be, man?
Yep. Coming up next, I know he's running a little behind, so we'll probably open things up.
I thought he was always on time.
Well, I'm just doing what I'm doing.
I'm going to go down there and have a question with him. Say, okay, Coach, you preach being 5 minutes early. What's going on here? He'd be like, somebody get this jackass out of here.
And you will be. You will be escorted right? out. They'll drag your ass out is what they would do. But Coach Nick Saban will address the media with the Predators. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.